Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very excited today, but when I came here, I became so jealous when I saw Brother Reuben holding a lovely little baby. Then I said, who is this one? Then he said, it's my grand. Oh, I was so excited to see. While at least I was listening, then his wife said, this is my daughter here. Because I said, who is this? Therefore, I would love to welcome Rhoda. Would you just stand, Rhoda, for a minute? Yes. Thank you, Rhoda. So Rhoda is with us today. I'm very much excited too. It's good to see the Birminghamers, Noma, and you saw that child who was coming in front. That's Noma's. So it's a mixture of people here, children, adults, together. Thank you very much, Reuben, for coming with your daughter. I remember your sermon you preached here a couple of years ago. It was a powerful one. And now that we see that your son-in-law is here as well, together with your daughter, it is so exciting. Thank you very much, people, for coming. And all others who are with us, including Mr. Meg, who has been in pains with some teeth, so he's with us today. The messages which came 2 weeks ago, one by Pastor John, it was about marriage, and it ended up directing us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The message is by Elder Eddie. Last week, he spoke about the feasts, various feasts, but he ended up directing us to the feast of the marriage supper of the land, the Lamb in heaven there. So it's all about heaven. We are here thinking about heaven. I had a message which was to come from the text Matthew 4 or Luke 4, but the text was taken by the Bishop of Canterbury yesterday when he was crowning the king. The coronation to me was like a revival. I thought it was going to be political, but I saw it was like a revival, and it was so inclusive of so many faiths. I saw somebody like clothed as a Sikh. He read from the Bible. Then I saw our Prime Minister, I think he is Hindu. He read from the Bible. I saw many various leaders, maybe even the rabbis were there, and they were all looked one-hearted. They were all looking at the king, our king, yesterday. Wasn't it amazing to see the whole world watching and seeing that England is a Christian state? It showed that yesterday, that England is a Christian state. One might like to do it or not, but that is what the king showed as his humility. And he refused to call that he was going to rule England, but he said, "I am the servant." I heard him saying so. He spoke about the servant kingship. So we are really blessed. I was really blessed yesterday. I therefore turned to this scripture, which is about the life of Jesus Christ here on earth, the purposes of what he was going to go through, as prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, who is always the prophet who prophesies about Jesus Christ. In Luke 4, we saw Jesus saying, all this has been fulfilled. This is the scripture which he shows the fulfillment, the confirmation that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus said. Going back to these scriptures, you see that he suffered even before he came to that to read that scripture in Luke in the synagogue. You'll see that he went through some sufferings around there because he tried to introduce himself. First, he tried to introduce himself when he was 12, when the parents were looking for him for 3 days. And he was a unique young person at that big gathering of leaders when he was asking them questions which they couldn't answer, but they were asking him questions which he answered. The parents looking for him, they said, where have you been? We've been looking for you all these days. He said, you didn't know that I am doing the work of my Father who is in heaven. After that, we saw him being baptized. After baptism, the Bible tells us that he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, where he spent 40 days without eating and nights. At the end of that time, he was tempted by Satan, who wanted to destroy his mission. The Spirit led him to the wilderness. Then he stayed at the wilderness. Then from there, he was tried and passed the test of the devil. From there, he started to go around picking his disciples as the Spirit led him to. The people he picked, some of them were mostly tax collectors, those people who were questionable. Their life was questionable, as if they were thieves and they were like this. Some of them were weak people. But Jesus Christ picked them. First, he picked 70 and sent them. Some of them came from there boasting, from preaching. Even the devils were running away from us. We're casting them. Then Jesus said, don't be overjoyed that the devils were falling before you. But be happy because your names are written in the book of life. That's what he said. Don't be excited about what miracles were happening before you. But be excited if your names are written in the book of life. That's what he told them. During this period, many people were expecting more. Of course, he did some miracles which were not recorded in the Bible, which were not recorded in our Bible. But he did the miracles. Few were recorded. Remember the marriage of Cana in Galilee, where he changed the water to wine. Remember, when John was in prison, he expected Jesus to come there to release him, because he knew that Jesus Christ was had all authority. He was able to do so, but he wanted Jesus to come to take him off from prison. Then he sent people to ask, are you the one, or we should wait for the other? That's what John said. He started to doubt the mission of Jesus Christ. Are you the one, or we should wait for the other? These were the times when he was starting his ministry, picking people, gathering people, until he found the 12. When he went to the temple, as his mission, he used to read there in the temple. They used to give him a reading and so forth. This time he stood to read. They gave him this message, which was from Isaiah, I think it's 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Homiletically, you see that Jesus Christ was always smart in his messages, in his movements. He's the one who fed the 5,000. He's the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the one who healed the blind people and many people with problems. These things which he did there, he was fulfilling what he had said at the beginning of his ministry, because he was ordained for the mission of freeing mankind. The mission, he had a freedom mission, Jesus Christ. But all these things he said, let me just remind you that my topic is anointed and assigned to free mankind. Anointed and assigned to free mankind. That was Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I said that he was so smart homiletically. Because whatever he said, those things he followed and did them accordingly and timely. Smart is a very important word to me, according to when you set your goals. Because the S would stand for specific. You need to be specific on what you are going to do. Jesus was. Your mission needs to be measurable. You measure, you know the figures, distances, all these. If you follow how Jesus did his things, everything is measured. Everything is known. The apostles were 12, sometimes they were 70. Other disciples were 2. So everything is known in figures. So measurable. And it was his mission was having some goals which were attainable. That's why Peter baptized the 3,000 when Jesus was gone. So it's known by numbers, and it's seen by growth of the mission of Jesus Christ immediately when he left, because he was ordained and anointed by God. I say it is attainable, smart, measurable, attainable, and realistic. Jesus Christ's mission was realistic. He did all things accordingly. If he was going to raise somebody who was sick, he was going to say, "Stand up and walk." That's what he was going to say. He didn't doubt to say, "Let's wait for the other day." No, he just said, see, if the one was blind, he made them to see. That was his mission. He was so realistic. And all he did was tangible. It complete the word smart, which his mission was like. I said homiletically, he was so smart. You can follow his messages. The message which he spoke here in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he said. Preach the gospel to the poor. Most of the people, they think that the poor he spoke about were those people without money, without other things. He's speaking about the total poverty from spirit, flesh, your flesh, your soul. So many people are poor on those areas. They have no God. They don't know him either. So Jesus' mission was to touch the life of the total person. He healed the sick, as I said before. The example is Lazarus, who was risen from the dead. He fed the hungry. He dealt with all problems affecting people, socially, physically, spiritually, even justice. You remember when he found a woman who was about to be stoned to death, and all men were standing there. No woman was there, but only men were carrying stones to destroy this woman. And they said this woman was caught red-handed. Then they wanted Jesus to confirm that he can be stoned. Then Jesus said, "Is there anyone here who has no sin? It's good to start with the one without sin to throw the stone." So they all disappeared from there. You see, this justice, it is so touching. Because these men were very unfair. How would he do that act without a man? Where was the man then when they brought this woman there? It was a community which had a bad culture, the culture which was so segregative in such a way that they looked upon other people down. So Jesus Christ, with his justice, as a justice person, he just made a judgment there on its own. And from there, women started to follow him. So this is Jesus, who claimed that he has come to preach the gospel to the captives. He has come to release the captives. He has come to release the prisoners. He had come to release those people who were blind, to bring sight on them. It was not only blindness of our eyes, but the blindness of living in darkness without knowing that there is God. In darkness, in such people were worshipping idols. So that is the darkness which Jesus Christ is speaking about here. So he came to preach the year of the Lord. Things started to change from there. Those people who were worshipping on a Saturday, they started to think about a day of the Lord, or year of the Lord. Everything went the Lord. Changed even the how the years were going. It started to be AD. So his coming was a big turning point. So, brothers and sisters, we know even the Apostle Paul confirmed the life of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, how he became a person to free those people who were in captivity, who were in prison, who were suffering, who were always in stress, worrying, or depressed. That's what Jesus Christ came for. He touched the few, so that we may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so that we may have life if we believe in him. That is why he did these few things. The Bible says so, especially John confirms this. Paul spoke about the freedom that comes to our lives, bodies. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, "And the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." Paul, other people say, "Even if my body is weak, even if I am sick, I don't care. If my soul is ready to go to heaven, I'm not going with my body." But Paul here is starting with the body. He says our bodies, our soul, our spirit, all these things need to be sanctified by God. Similarly, all of them equally, they need to be sanctified by God. So when you work, your strength, the strength that you have, You need to glorify God. You need to glorify God. In your spirit, emotionally, you need to glorify God so that you are a total person working for God. That is what Jesus Christ came for. He came for the total person. When he was despised and all things trampled down, people were looking at him, they were looking at this body, the physical body, which was the earthly body. But Jesus Christ proved that we people, with our bodies, we can follow suit to his body. The sufferings which he went through, the temptations which he went through, can come to us. And because he conquered in that body, we can conquer too. So that's what he came for. And that's what the apostle here is confirming. Jesus Christ, in chapter 8, John, verse 36, he says that, he says that he, if the Son therefore shall set ye free, ye shall be free indeed. That's what Jesus said. Well, the name of free, the free grace comes in many ways here. Of course, that time I was a very high spiritually, together with my wife, and we were only seeing grace from God in our life. And we were in charge of a ministry which was so important then, but we were not old, we were still younger ministers in our church as compared to other ministers. But all this grace, we really saw that grace happening in our lives as workers of Jesus Christ. So he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. Remember when Petro was in prison, praying, singing, the angel just came and took off his chain. They just crashed. Then he led the angel through the bodyguards out. All the doors were just opening like the doors happening today. When you press, they open before you come there. Imagine those years. The doors were opening like. But it's God. Before people had this technology which is here today, God was performing it, but people didn't realize that it was going to come to be practically to anyone in this world. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ came with a big assignment. He was anointed. He was assigned to deliver, and he did deliverance. That's why I am here today before you speaking. I'm supposed to be dead because I was going to be drinking all that, eating all that, or fighting. When I was a young person, I was always, I wanted to fight, I wanted to kick other people. And I was so bully, I didn't know that God was going to calm me down so that I can be a person, a real person. God can make us really people, because that's the mission which he came for, Jesus Christ, that all of us can go to heaven. I am glad that most of the people are now saved, and most of the people now know God. If you ask some of the people, they will tell you that if I go to die today, I'm sure that I've got a good relationship with my Lord. Do you have good relationship with your Lord? Jesus Christ declared what he came for. He came for you. If you have a problem, or you have another thing, something that is worrying you, you just pray. It will happen. God will heal you. We don't rely on other things, but God does miracles. We've heard people that, oh, so-and-so was healed, so-and-so was this. You remember, I think even Pastor John and the church here, they know, Caroline, according to us, she was dead. Even when you come to the hospital, she was dead. That day, that night, when somebody from the hospital called me, I think it was about 1 a.m., then I saw the phone was written hospital. I didn't answer. It just showed my wife, hey, from hospital. When we left the hospital last night, it wasn't good. But this person is phony, then it's hospital. Oh, my wife started to cry without hearing the message. Yeah. Then I said, tell me what's happening. Don't waste time. Then he said, no, I'm just I thought I can share with you that she's picking up. She's picking up. Then my wife said, no, something happened. She can't just phone like that. She should tell the truth. Yeah. Well, when we went there, we found she's picking up. What I'm trying to say is that God is here. He does all what we request him to do. Or it is not his time, God will hear our prayers always and do accordingly. So we thank God. Thank God. Those who haven't believed in God yet here, may you please believe in God. I beg you, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Yeah. I remember somebody who came here. There are 1, 2, 3. They came to this church. Said, how did you come here? Said, I saw it is written there, free church. Then, free church, that's why you came. Said, yes, I thought of coming. Then I asked somebody again, why did you come here? Says, I saw online. Said, they say online. Then I came to this church. Said, mother, why did you come here? One lady, she's in Canada now, says, no, I just felt that I should come here. Remembering that we were praying during the week for people to come to this church. One young man came as well. He came here. I asked him, why did you come here? Where do you worship? He said, no, I've been looking for the church, but I feel like coming here. So when he left here, he gave us a farewell to go when he was going back to Stoke-on-Trent. So, brothers and sisters, God is here. God answers our prayers. Children, isn't it exciting to see children, what they are doing in the church here? They revive us. Even this new girl who gave the verse today, the new one, it's amazing. I am always excited with those things. Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to die for our sins. We thank you, Father, that he accomplished the mission, and we are here witnessing for him. And we are here, Lord, getting ready to go to heaven, inviting more people to join us so that we can be your children of God, both of us, so that we can enter heaven. Be with us today, bless our church, and those who are traveling abroad, be with them. Joanna, Free Grace Michelle, be with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.